It is sobering to realize, brothers and sisters, that there are many ways to betray Jesus. Judas' way was straightforward. Our ways are more subtle. As we prepare ourselves for tomorrow, that moment in Holy Week when we shall celebrate the Last Supper, let us remember that one of Jesus' closest followers ate from his master's loaf and yet betrayed him.
Hi friends, welcome to the third of our Holy Week services. Please join me now for our prayer of confession.
Almighty God, maker of all, God have mercy on us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ have mercy on us. Holy Spirit, breath of life, God have mercy on us. Merciful One, we confess that we have not been honest with you. We have not been honest with each other. We have not been honest with ourselves. We think, speak, and act in ways that deny the love that gives life. We put self first, we speak to hurt, and we turn our backs on the needy. Forgive us, O God, in the name of the Christ. Amen.
Return to the Lord your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God for this great gift. Amen. Our scripture reading today is taken from John's Gospel, from chapter 19, partway through verse 16. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it. This was to fulfill what the scripture says. They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, Here is your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, It is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Our Bible reading today has shifted from Luke's accounting of the crucifixion that we heard on Monday and Tuesday to John's telling of the same story. And like some of the Lucan stories, John's remembrance is filled with intriguing observations and questions. I would say there's much here for the Holy Week pilgrim. What catches my attention is located in those last three verses today. Verse 28 began with, After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, and I was wondering, okay, so just what was this all that was now finished? And then in the concluding verse, Jesus' last words are, "It is finished." So what's the it? The all and the it, could they have meant life? Are we hearing resignation? Are we hearing surrender here? Life is done. I'm finished. Abandoned by friends, denied, betrayed, tried on bogus charges, flogged, and now crushed with the agony of crucifixion. Life would seem to be done. But then he didn't say, "I am finished." He didn't say that, did he? No, the gospel writer remembers it to be, "It is finished." And the it is what? I know that I've said this before, but I often wish I could hear Jesus say so many of the things that are recorded in the gospel. I would love to hear his expression. I think that the expression would tell us a lot. I have a hunch that he said more than a few things with some wistfulness or with a gentle touch of humor, though there is no humor in what he was saying from the cross. To have heard him say, "It is finished," I wonder, was it an expression of defeat? You know, a good run, but I lost? Or was it relief? Satisfaction? It's done. A note of triumph. I'd love to have heard his voice. That word we read and hear is finished, teleio. It has within it some breadth of meaning. It can refer to completion, to have done what's commanded, to have fulfilled a task. So maybe there was more to this than just martyrdom. Maybe it wasn't failure, but maybe it was something else. In fact, that seems to inform some of the other things that Jesus said, rather enigmatic things that no one really understood when he first said them. I mean, what about 7 chapters earlier than this one? "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And didn't John, just 9 chapters before this one, didn't John remember Jesus saying, "I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." That doesn't just sound like a nasty turn of events, a failure, but there's something deliberate here. And it wasn't just John who remembered these things, but Matthew and Mark and Luke, they all have similar curious stories to tell. Honestly, to my ear, what initially sounded like something gone horribly wrong, well, it might not be quite what it seems. It sounds like something was happening on that cross, on that day, that something was accomplished. No, it's not what it seems. Big things were going on that Friday afternoon. Something got done. Something important was finished. I'm going to reflect on that for a while. In fact, I'm thinking maybe we should pick up this conversation again. How about Sunday? Amen. Friends, let us pray. Merciful God, we know that you're never really far from us, even when we have strayed from you. For this we give you thanks. Today we ask that you would increase our faith, renew our courage, and by your Spirit strengthen us in the tests and temptations we face that might cause us to draw back from you. Quicken the coming of your kingdom of love and truth. Show us that in every trial you are still with us, and that in every sorrow you are still loving us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So once more, may the blessing of God give us strength for our journey. May the Spirit of wisdom give us vision for the road ahead. And may the love of Christ make us caring companions as we go together into this holy week. Amen.